Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
610, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Hold on a second. We're trying to tweet here. Just give us a second. There it is. Yeah, trying to tweet Dave Bennett. This is nice. Taking selfies. Are we on CLTV yet? No, that's at 9 o'clock. All right. Good to be in today. Hopefully the rain will stop. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for the rain to stop. I just want nice weather walking down the street. I mean, yesterday we had flashes of it, but that rain when it came through, wow, was rough stuff. And then last night when the temperature dropped, whew. Okay. What is today? Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday, yes.
I woke up.
Hey, remember when you and Andrea thought it wasn't going to rain near Wrigley yesterday?
Well, I was asking because Tim McGill said, yeah, maybe, maybe not, when we asked him yesterday. It did. It poured like crazy.
I just wanted to point out that I had told you it was going to rain.
So. I don't remember that.
And I had reported all morning it was going to rain.
Yeah, Steve, every newscast you said that. Yeah, I'm with you, Steve.
You know, it's weird in the suburbs because the temperature never really dropped like it did downtown.
Oh, it did up north.
Yeah, it didn't out west as much. It was really kind of slower and, you know, just we didn't have the weird lightning stuff going on.
I had my windows open in my front room, and as the front came through, the heat in my house actually kicked on. It got so cold.
What do you have the heat on?
Oh, it was turned way down, but it got so cold so quickly that the heat started to kick on.
It was very eerie when those dark clouds came through. Weird. It's like, what's going on here? We won the World Series. Everything's fine. Yeah.
I talked to someone who was on a plane coming in around that time.
Oh.
They were rocking and rolling a little bit up there.
I hope Andrea got out okay.
Oh, yeah.
Big trip, yeah.
Hey, did you guys hear that there's going to be like a volcano that erupts in Iceland? Did you know that?
What?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Don't.
Oh, yeah, it's
do
great.
Not bring that up to her.
I did not send her that
text.
I purposely did not say that yesterday.
All right. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. Time for the 6 at 6.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The Top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
Top 6 at 6 at number 1, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson heads to Russia today and is expected to confront the foreign minister over differences in the Syrian policy. I don't think anything's going to happen with this. Steve, any thoughts?
The bigger problem, I think, is over in South Korea, North Korea. That's where the tensions are mounting and everybody's concerned. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not there's, you know, some connection there, because the big problem is over there, not in Russia right now.
We're going to check in with Karen Travers from ABC News in 9 minutes. Yes, there has to be some type of connection between Russia and Syria. They had to know. And there's been some reports that they did know because drones were spotted overhead at the hospitals. All right. If you haven't seen the video yet, I posted it on my Facebook page. United Airlines in the news again after a video of a passenger screaming and bloodied was dragged off an overbooked flight after he refused to leave. Wow. I've watched this probably a half a dozen times. It's crazy.
What's even more concerning is that the CEO of the company yesterday defended the employees.
Yeah.
He was sort of just tone deaf of the whole thing in his public statements on this.
The passenger's always right.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
And I fly a lot. If I'm in my seat on the plane,
yeah,
and they've oversold the flight, and I get that. It happens a lot, and they ask for volunteers, and my volunteers. But why is the person who's not yet on the plane entitled to my seat? Why do they take priority? Put them on another flight. Why do you take me off and try to book
Steve,
me?
Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the crew. They had to fly the crew back to Louisville.
United.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's the difference.
Right.
Well, but there is something else to keep in mind here. The Department of Transportation is investigating because the contract for carriage, as it's called, says you can deny somebody boarding. So the question is, if you're already in your seat, can they do this to you?
Yeah. I mean, that would be my concern.
I mean, that video of the doctor being dragged down the middle of the aisle.
I know.
People screaming, what are you doing? It's horrible.
And the impact of this today is going to be, let's see, right now United stock is off 5.3%.
Oh.
If that holds up 12, you know, to 8:30 to the opening bell, that's $1 billion right there.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
The CEO is gone.
Yeah,
they have to do something. Yeah. Wow. Two adults, one student killed in an apparent murder-suicide at an elementary school classroom in San Bernardino, California. Every parent's nightmare. This guy came in, shot his estranged wife. There was two kids behind the teacher. One of them ended up passing away. The other one in stable condition. Horrible story. Just horrendous. Alabama's governor, Robert Bentley, resigns because he was facing impeachment after accusations that he covered up an affair with his aide, who is half his age. Have you seen his aide?
I have not.
Did not see a picture. Nope.
She's pretty. I don't understand what she sees in the former governor. I just don't understand it.
Well, he said he resigned yesterday to avoid having to talk about this scandal, so it must be pretty juicy.
Do you know how he got busted?
Mm-mm.
He sent audio he thought he was sending to his girlfriend, and he accidentally sent it to his wife.
No.
You got to be careful. See, that's why you need a wait. You need to wait a beat. That's a perfect example.
We
wait
have a motto, Pete. Don't hit send.
Yes. Right. What's the rush?
Or at least have a burner phone for your.
And don't put it in your front drawer of your desk.
You know the burner phone that the criminals get. So they don't,
yes.
Yeah. Have
the
one of those
phone.
For
the
your
flip phone.
Girlfriend. Yeah.
You know it's summer because gas prices are on the rise in Chicago. Prices hit a 19-month high across the U.S. as well. What are gas prices at? I haven't even checked.
About $2.59 for regulars, what I paid yesterday.
I'm okay with that. As long as it's under $3.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
you
good
go,
with it.
Go back 5 years, I think you would have taken that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fine. Okay. And the weather didn't stop the party at Wrigley Field. Cubs raised the World Series
banner.
Flag. It is a
it's a banner.
It's a banner.
It is. Does it look like a banner?
No, but everyone calls it a banner. Joe Madden called it a banner.
It's on a flagpole.
Yeah, but they're always the same size, a banner and a flag.
Okay, I saw the four flagpoles. They raised 1907
this
flag.
This is going to go on all morning, isn't it?
Well, I'm watching TV, and I'm talking to my wife and my son, Charlie. I'm like, okay, and they're raising 1908, and we were guessing who was going to raise the flag, and I guessed Fergie and then Billy Williams, and then it was the pennant, right? The pennant flag? Is that what they raised, number three? And then the World Series flag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, whatever it is, I have to tell you, it was so nice yesterday to be able to strut around knowing that my team was the world champ. That this is the first time in my entire life I've been able to do that.
Right. It was a big
Very
deal.
Cool.
Ain't a great ceremony. The Cubs did everything right. All right. That was your 6 at 6.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
By us taking action and de-escalating what's going on in Syria, that's the greatest thing you can do to support those people. De-escalating the conflict there, containing ISIS, is the greatest aspect of humanitarian relief that we can provide, first and foremost. Secondly, creating areas in which we can work with allies, including Russians, and committing to ensuring that there are places that are free from violence and are places of free for people to gather safely is another.
6:23, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. What is the policy towards Syria? We discussed this yesterday. Senator McCain asked that very question on Face the Nation Sunday. Joining us from ABC News is Karen Travers. Karen, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said they have no intention of removing President Assad from office right now.
Yes. He also said just a few moments ago that it's clear that the reign of the Assad family is coming to an end and that the Trump administration policy is for a united Syria that is governed by the Syrian people. And the line that they keep saying is that there should be a political process that leads to the Assad regime ending. But that's the big question of how does that happen and what big role or any role at all would the United States play in that? And they're certainly not committing to leading that charge. Rex Tillerson right now is on his way to Russia. He departed Italy, where he was meeting with foreign ministers. And before he left, he issued a very strong statement, laying the groundwork for this high-stakes meeting. He said when it came to Russia's responsibility with that 2013 commitment to get rid of Syria's chemical weapons stockpile, he says Russia either failed to take that obligation seriously or they've been incompetent, which we've heard him say before. But he also said the distinction doesn't much matter to the dead. Very tough words from Secretary of State.
The Russians knew, didn't they?
U.S. officials tell us that the intelligence community has no consensus that Russia had any advanced knowledge of the chemical attack. There is certainly questions about this. There is a report that they did. John McCain yesterday, bringing him up again, said that the Russians were operating out of that base that launched the chemical attack. And I think there are a lot of questions of how could they not have known. But we got significant pushback from government officials to that reporting yesterday. They say there's no consensus on that.
Steve, you want to jump in here? We're talking with Karen Travers from ABC News.
Yeah, Karen, I'm just kind of curious. He says the Assad family's reign is coming to an end. What does he mean by that? Because who's going to remove, how is he going to be out of control? I mean, he's certainly nobody there can remove him.
Exactly. And that's the big question. What is this political process? That's the phrase he used, a political process that leads to a conclusion in Syria and how Syria will be governed. But yesterday, the White House got a lot of questions about this, of how big of a role is the United States going to play? And certainly they're not putting themselves on the line saying exactly what that would be. I think there's just still a lot of questions, and the White House seems to be being deliberately vague on some of these big ones.
Do they expect to get pushback from these other G7 leaders?
So there was a statement just a few moments ago after the G7 foreign ministry meeting concluded. The Italian foreign minister said that there is no consensus on additional sanctions on Russia, and there's a sense of not wanting to push Russia into a corner. The Brits were really advocating for tougher sanctions. But I think another statement from Rex Tillerson today is telling. He said that Russia has to decide whether it's going to align itself with the United States and other allies, so certainly the G7 countries, or continue to align itself with the Assad regime, the Iranians, and Hezbollah. He says, is that a long-term alliance that serves Russia's interests?
Sounds like he's drawn a line in the sand. So back to the original question, what's our strategy? Do we wait for Syria to make another move? What do we do?
The White House says that the president is leaving open the option to act again in Syria against the Assad regime if it's determined to be in the national interest. Yesterday, Sean Spicer walked himself into a corner when he said to my colleague Cecilia Vega, if you gas a baby, if you put a barrel bomb into innocent people, make no mistake, President Trump will act. That set off a lot of questions because barrel bombs have been a frequently used weapon in the Syrian civil war. Human rights groups say that last year alone, the Assad regime dropped nearly 13,000 barrel bombs. They're certainly happening this month, too. So that seemed to be a significant shift in the red line for the Trump administration. Yesterday, they walked that back, saying that there is nothing changed in the posture, just that the president is retaining the option to act again. But last week, his response was specifically to that chemical attack.
Sean Spicer always seems to make things worse. He does.
He didn't help things yesterday, certainly. You know, we've had a lot of times where you have to go back and ask follow-ups, but that was a significant acknowledgement of a walk back.
Yes. Karen Travers, ABC News. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks.
All right. Coming up next, the big story on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:39, time for the Allstate Kid of the Week. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize a youth that goes above and beyond for their community. You can nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week. A kid that you know can be featured right here on the Cochran Show and win some great prizes, including an Amazon gift card and Lou Malnati's pizza. Just go to WGNradio.com/contests to submit an entry for a youth between the ages of 9 and 18 that you think should be the Allstate Kid of the Week. And we have the Kid of the Week right now on the phone with us. It's Danny Peterson. Danny, good morning.
Good morning.
Danny, you're 11 years old?
Yeah.
You have five siblings, is that right? You're the youngest?
Yeah.
Is that tough? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers and two sisters.
Two brothers. I remember I was right in the middle of my family, so the youngest brother kind of got beat on a little bit.
Yeah, same as me a little.
But they always say that the youngest son is the most competitive. Are you very competitive? You play sports?
Yeah, I play football.
You play football? What position?
I play center and D tackle.
Center and D tackle. This is a tough kid right here.
No question.
Wow, 11 years old. How big are you?
Around close to 5 foot.
Close to 5 foot. Oh, okay. I mean, that's pretty good, man. So is football your only sport? You play basketball? Anything else?
I mostly play basketball, but I didn't play this year.
Okay. I mean, you're a multi-sport athlete. It just depends. If you feel like it, you play. If not, you don't. So the kid of the week. What made you the kid of the week this week?
Well, I mostly help around my house and stuff with my mom. And I help with my Aunt Sherry, who is paralyzed.
Oh, God bless you for doing that, man. So you're constantly helping the family, aren't you?
Yes.
Wow. What about your other siblings? Are you stepping up and doing most of the work because you're the youngest and they just kind of push it off on you?
Most of the time because they're barely home.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
Probably a local 399 engineer.
Nothing specific, just a local 399 engineer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sounds like you know one of those engineers.
Yes. Do you?
Yeah, my dad.
Your
there
dad.
You go.
Isn't that great? That's following
awesome.
In dad's
great.
Footsteps. What does dad think about that?
He thinks it's good.
He thinks
sure,
it's good,
sure.
Of course.
But he always tells me that I can follow my dreams too.
Oh, that's great advice.
That is great advice.
Great dad.
Do your older siblings mind when you tag along with them?
Yeah, sometimes they let me, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Mary, you come from a big family. Did the caboose get pushed around in your family? She did in ours.
She did, but she held her own. He sounds like he can hold his own.
It sounds
don't
like
you
it.
Think
he's,
so?
He's a tough kid.
Yeah, he's a center and a D lineman, right?
Oh, yeah.
Danny, what do you do in your spare time?
Sometimes I'll think of stuff to like help my parents and stuff. And then sometimes I'll just go over to my friend's house.
So I'll think of stuff to help my parents. Boy, this is a good kid, man. What time do you go to school today?
Well, it starts at 7:30.
7:30? What's your favorite class?
Probably math.
Math? That's good. And who's your teacher?
I have three teachers. Mrs. Hens.
Okay.
And then my student teacher, Ms. Han. And then, no, I actually have four. And then Ms. Pakalik.
Okay.
And Ms. Jevitz.
Do you change classes a lot since you're 11?
We only changed three classes.
Three classes? Okay. That's when they start moving, Dave. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
That far back.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
And do you still have gym?
Yeah, we still have gym. Or art. Or music.
Oh, good.
Do you wear the arts. You wear your gym clothes to school, right? We never got to do that. Kids can do that nowadays.
Yeah.
You wear them all day, and do you wear tennis shoes every day?
No.
You have to wear dress shoes?
No, you can wear whatever shoes you want.
Okay.
Or like, whatever clothes, really.
Got it. And you want to say hello to any of your friends at Spencer Point Elementary School in New Lenox?
Yeah.
Okay. Who are your friends? Go ahead.
Declan Higgins and Michael Gargoni, and that there's a ton of other ones.
Okay. How is Declan? He can get a little rowdy, can't he? I mean, think about it. What are your favorite games to play on your phone? I have an 11-year-old, and I feel like he's playing Clash of Clans right now. That's a big one.
I kind of play like a few games. I'll just go on like I would probably say Clash Royale or
okay, Clash Royale. That's a big one. Okay,
yeah.
And do you have your own phone?
No.
Oh, that's.
I think I get one in sixth or seventh.
Yeah, that's big. Sixth, seventh grade. Yeah, I like that. Danny, congratulations, man, for being the kid of the week. This is a big deal.
Oh, thank you.
First of all, you're on the mothership here at WGN, so you're heard all over the state of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, all over the place. So people are hearing your voice right now.
And on the internet all over the world.
Right, of course. We're going to set you up with an Amazon gift card. What are you going to buy on Amazon? You got your sights set on anything?
No, not really right now.
They have pretty much everything.
Do you have an account on Amazon?
Nope.
Are you an Amazon Prime member? Hey, Ma, no. I got my Amazon Prime. Let's go. Get the gift card from Cochran. Okay. And a Lou Malnati's pizza. You can share that with your family.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Danny, congratulations, man. Have a great day at school, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
you
buddy.
Have a good day, too.
You too. Thank See you, man.
Oh, what a nice, so what a polite. Nice young man.
Wow, great manners.
Love him.
I don't know if I was like that when I was 11.
I'm pretty sure you weren't.
I think his brother and sister's going to go beat him up now and say, you did an awesome job. Boom, boom.
It just amazes me. Week after week, you find these good kids. These are good kids that help out around the house.
I know. Were we ever good?
No.
Yeah, what does he do when he has some free time? Think about ways I could help my mom and dad.
Yeah, and help his aunt? I mean, come on.
The youngest boy out of five kids, that's rough stuff.
Yeah.
Because, well, you grow up fast because you got four other siblings that are older than you. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, but you're also well protected.
Yeah.
Very well protected.
Well, not when you're younger because you're getting beat up by your older brother.
Well, you were number what?
I was number six.
Okay.
So was I. I was number six.
Yeah. That's why Mary and I get along. So well.
But I didn't have five brothers. I had four sisters.
Did you fight?
The sisters?
Yeah.
Just with my younger sister.
Okay.
She was trouble.
I shared a room.
Now we're best friends.
I shared a room with my brother Johnny Mick for 18 years, and we were in a fist fight every day. Every day. Fist fight.
That's why you're always at the dentist.
Everything went. I mean, you could grab things, hit people in the head, lock them in the couch, you know, throw them in there.
It's just their way of expressing love.
Right. Dave, do you have a brother?
I do not have a brother. I have two older sisters.
Two older sisters. The youngest boy in the family, they say, is the most competitive. You have to be competitive if you're the youngest boy.
But I was the only boy. Yeah. Yeah, so I was sort of the favorite.
I guess that works out.
So. I was the favorite.
Of course you were. Brother. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve, probably back tomorrow, feeling much better. 651. I was at Wrigley yesterday. That new park next to the park is beautiful.
The park at Wrigley?
And they say that you need a ticket to get in to the park. There's just this small little barricade that separates the sidewalk from the park, so you could stand on the sidewalk and still see the Jumbotron. I don't really understand it. And it doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they let people in?
Because they want to make it an exclusive experience.
This is what I don't like about the neighbors in Wrigleyville. I understand you don't want people peeing in your yard. I get it. But you live by Wrigley. There's a reason that your house is so expensive is because you're next to a ballpark.
Right.
You got to deal with it.
Yeah.
But if they let everybody in there, can you imagine how packed it would be?
Right.
All the time?
Bunch of Pete McMurrays all over the place.
Everybody bring their dogs in.
They're going to be standing on the sidewalk. That's what they did.
I actually heard some of the Cubs people yesterday say that they wanted it open, but because security concerns, the city made them keep it more secure because of all these, you know, potential threats. So they want it to be open, but they just can't.
What is the difference between walking on the sidewalk and putting people in a courtyard? Because there's just thousands of people on the sidewalk now, just staring in, looking at this Jumbotron. And this Starbucks that they built next to Wrigley is enormous.
It's enormous, yeah.
Wow.
And the store is in there. Did you go in the store?
I didn't.
You couldn't go in.
I didn't have a ticket.
That's right.
I couldn't get in.
You can't even go into the store without a ticket?
I don't think so. No, you have to go into the courtyard.
The store is in the courtyard.
Yeah.
Hmm. Right.
Yes, definitely. Green Tea Services Window of Opportunity Contest. We have $7,000 in windows plus installation. All you have to do is tell us in 200 words or less the craziest thing you've seen out your window. What is the craziest thing you've seen out your window? Submit it at WGNradio.com and you could win $7,000 in windows plus installation, which I need at my house. I need new windows. I do. Craziest thing you've seen out your window?
I've had a lot of windows, so I'd have to think some.
Craziest thing. My old house.
Which window are we talking
about? Any window. I'll tell you right now, the craziest thing I've seen, I used to live at Diversey in Palina, and my neighbor right across the street, it was a Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. He came from a Cub game. He walked out his front door naked, walked down to a bush, went to the bathroom. I mean, kids playing on the street. Okay. He is hammered, walks upstairs, and that was it. Naked, okay, relieving himself on his own bushes.
How are you going to top that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw a drone land in my front yard last week.
Okay.
I was sitting in my living room. All of a sudden, I heard and looked out my front window, and there's a drone in my front yard flashing and beeping. And
really?
Yeah.
I've not had that.
That's cool. I live on a prairie path, you know, so people are biking, hiking, walking, running, everything right in front of me. And I just, we'd love to sit on the front porch and just, like, make fun of everybody's, you know, attire as they ride a bike. Like, how can they ride a bike in that outfit? It's kind of fun.
Nice.
We have a good time.
Sounds like something you'd do, Mary.
It is. It's good entertainment.
So submit it at WGNradio.com, the craziest thing that you've seen out your window. Okay, let's go to, is he on line nine? Let's talk to Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Boy, you got a tough last name, Mr. Congressman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
How was Sunday's?
The other day, I have to tell you, everybody pronounces my name different, but I introduced myself to someone. I said, hi, my name is Raja Krishnamoorthy, and the guy said, Roger Christian Murphy. Very nice to meet you. So
Krishnamoorthy.
I have a little bit of Irish in me, too.
I practiced last night. You're very active on Twitter, which I love. I was checking out your Twitter account. How did the town hall meeting go on Sunday? How was it?
It went really well. You know, there's a lot of, you know, energy and enthusiasm out there for getting involved right now. As you may have noticed, there's a little bit of activity in Washington, D.C. these days with our new president and everything else that's going on. And, you know, people want to participate and speak up about the issues that matter to them. And so there's been a lot of participation in town halls.
I don't think we see enough of these. People just want to be heard. Have you found that out, being a congressman?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, people want to be heard. They want to be listened to. And I think one of the lessons that I learned from the election was that a lot of people feel ignored by Washington, D.C. And so this is these town halls and other similar meetings are ways for people like myself to make sure that they are not ignored and that we really listen to them and follow through on you know, the commitments we make to them.
Right. Our Secretary of State is in Moscow today. You've called for an independent investigation of the Russian interference in the election. What do you think is going to happen?
Good question. I think that, you know, we've seen kind of tentative but halting steps toward an independent investigation of, you know, what's been going on between officials associated with the White House and the Kremlin. First, we saw Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, resign a couple months ago. And then we saw Attorney General Jeff Sessions recuse himself from any kind of investigation of the situation. And then recently we saw Devin Nunes recuse himself from the ongoing investigation by the House Intelligence Committee. My personal belief is that, you know, we just got to get the politics out of this. This goes beyond party and politics, and we got to go to a 9/11 style commission outside of Congress to really get to the bottom of what's going on. Because at the end of the day, what I want to know, I sit on the House Oversight Committee, and what I want to know is, you know, have any national security secrets been compromised
right,
the Russians, and, you know, how do we prevent them from taking advantage of those secrets and other information to, you know, further, you know, put us in risk. So that's what I'm really concerned about.
You just want answers. And what are your thoughts on Russia not condemning Syria on the use of chemical weapons last week?
Oh, my gosh, it's ridiculous. You know, they've been propping up the Assad regime for years now, and they know that Assad has used chemical weapons on his own people before, and they probably even knew about the attack as it was happening last week in Idlib province in Syria. In fact, apparently there were Russian members of the Russian military on that very base from which airplanes took off to deliver those chemical weapons. And so I'm appalled at Vladimir Putin's refusal to make Assad, you know, avoid or not use those chemical weapons.
And Congressman, before you go, the job summit on building the Western Highway access to O'Hare, when is that happening?
That's happening today. Thank you so much for bringing attention to it. You know, basically, we have something called the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. It neither reaches Elgin nor O'Hare. And so
I've been on it.
It's one of those, you've been on it. It's kind of become the road to nowhere. And, you know, finally, it appears that we are in a position where it's going to reach O'Hare finally. And we want to, so to speak, punch through the western borders of O'Hare to be able to allow the western suburbs to be able to reach, you know, the people of the western suburbs to reach O'Hare from the west, as opposed to having to go all the way east to Chicago and then enter from I-190. And so today's summit is really a briefing of all the stakeholders. It's one of those projects where, fortunately, you know, people from the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, labor, management, and practically all regions of Chicagoland are in agreement that we need to get this project underway. I think that there's been progress, but we need to get closer to the goal line. And today's summit is meant to get us there. And the theme is jobs and more jobs coming out of this particular project. And I think that we are all in agreement that we need more jobs and economic development for the Chicagoland region.
Is there a website people can check out when they get to work?
Yes, they should check out my own government website. It's www.krishnamoorthy.house.gov. And I recognize that my name is not very easy to spell. They can just look up Raja, R-A-J-A, and Congress. They can just Google Raja and Congress. There's only one Raja in Congress. And so they should be able to find it, hopefully. And if not, please let us know. And we're going to try to keep people posted on this because it's so important. And I think everyone wants to get to O'Hare as quickly as possible and relieve congestion on the surrounding expressways.
Agree 100%. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, how'd I do?
You did great. And
thank you.
You can just call me Raja.
Raja. Thank you, Congressman. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Have a great day.
Coming up next on WGN Top of the Hour News, it's 7:01 on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:14 Tuesday morning, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back later on this week. Let's check in with the Cook County Commissioner. It's Bridget Gaynor on the phone with us. Bridget, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
How'd the job fair go last Thursday?
It went great. It was, you know, it's you're in this room and there's all of these kids and young people, I should say. And you got all these employers and you realize everybody wants to be a part of this solution. And now we're trying to figure out a new way to do it. So, you know, if summer comes, there's more of this focus on how do you get people employed. And it was great. Ton of energy.
And so when you do these job fairs, of course, there's going to be jobs available. But you talk about resume building. You also even coach people on business stress. These are things that, you know, most of us didn't know as we were looking for a job.
Well, I think it's probably safe to say I didn't know until I was much older than them. You know, but the job world is so much more competitive than when we were entering it. You know, I never remember worrying I was going to be able to find a job in my life. Like, it just didn't occur to me. And I think these young people really think, like, okay, I got to get on it early, and I have to be really prepared. Otherwise, I may miss out. So, you know, they're focused because they realize that the job market's a lot harder to enter than it was 20 years ago.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. On the phone with us, Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor. Bridget, you there?
I am. Can you hear me any better?
There you are. Fantastic.
Okay,
we were talking about the job fair, and you mentioned that. Is it, you know, it's hard for young kids to get jobs nowadays. And I was talking to Dave Ennett during commercials. I felt like it was so hard when I graduated from college to get a job. It's just hard to get a job, and you need all the help you can get. That's why these job fairs are so important.
Well, they are. And I also think the job market has changed so much in the last 20, 30 years.
you know, there are, it's a lot more competitive to get a job, and people are thinking about it sooner. I mean, to some degree, I think about it like I think about high school sports. You know, think, you used to play a sport, get on a team. You didn't really put a lot of thought into it. Now you have a pitching coach. Now you have a batting coach. Now you're kind of focused on it since you were in sixth grade.
Right.
And the jobs are the same. You know, people feel the pressure, and it's more competitive. And so that means they got to start earlier, and they got to look at all of these other options at a younger age than they might have when we were younger.
Do you think employers, Bridget, are more selective now?
I don't think they're more selective, because, look, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing. They want someone who's going to show up, have skills, get along with people, and add something to the workplace. But I think those skills that they need have become a lot more complicated. You know, they've become more technical. They've required more training before you get there. So, you know, to some degree, as the world has become more complicated and more complex, and some of the more entry-level, lower-skilled jobs that used to support a family have moved elsewhere, you know, the jobs that are here are a lot more complicated, and they require a lot higher skills. So it means that a young person hoping to get into a technical field's got to start much earlier. You don't just, you know, it's not like, hey, I have a good attitude, I'm going to show up on time, I'm going to always be there, I'm going to get along with everybody, I'm going to be a hard worker. That's not enough anymore.
Yeah.
Commissioner, you think that the job market, which has been kind of cooking here for a couple of months, almost a year now, do you think that's encouraging people to come off the sidelines and start looking for work again?
Well, I hope so, because, you know, when we look at the unemployment rate, it really only captures people who are looking for a job, and it doesn't capture those people who've just said, you know what, forget it, this isn't even going to work for me. So I do think once people see people getting hired, it gives them hope, because they think, okay, you know, and that's why a job fair is so important, because all you have to do is show up there, and then all the jobs are right there in front of you, and it allows you to get access to maybe a bunch of employers that you didn't even know existed. And so it cuts back on your level of research, so you don't have to be so on top of it from that regard, and it kind of brings all the information to you.
Right. Information is power. Resume building. Yep. You talked about coaching on business dress. God, did I need that back in the day. I really did. Can we talk property taxes real quick, Bridget?
Yeah.
I live in the city. I feel like the city nickels and dimes me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
What can we do about Cook County? What can we do about property taxes?
So, look, I mean, the thing about property taxes is there's 20 different agencies that are coming on that property tax bill. It's the schools. It's the park district, it's the city, it's, you know, if you live in a suburb, it's your suburb. And to be honest, one of the things I think is crazy about the way we set things up in Illinois is there's, you know, if you look at your tax bill, you will literally see public entities that get your tax money that you couldn't even probably know what they do. There's way too many of them. They're divided. Everybody has their own executive director. There's mosquito abatement district. There's liquor district. There's, like, you know, not obviously public schools and the town is important, but Illinois has more local units of government than any other state by far. It's like multiples of that. And those are the types of things we've got to consolidate, because they don't add any value to anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, look, I'm a big believer that, you know, 20 years ago I was at the Park District, and we started, you know, we privatized the harbors and the parking lots and all of those businesses that were on the lakefront. And the idea was there's certain things that government is really good at and has to do, prisons, schools, but there's a lot of other things that they don't have to do. And you got to find that thing and not do one thing more than that, because, you know, that's not what they're good at.
Right.
So I think we have to really step back and say it's okay to let a project sunset. It's okay for government not to do something if the private sector can do it better.
Right. Got.
I wish not more.
I agree 100%. And you're a huge advocate for empowering women off the sideline shy. Can you mention this? It's on your Twitter feed.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. So, you know, off the sidelines is just simple. I mean, think about it like a sports analogy. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. And we got this together a couple of years ago when there was a senator from New York named Kirsten Gillibrand. And she and I were talking, and, you know, she has this view as well. And there's, you know, women participate in so much, you know, school, church, you're raising your family, you're volunteering for all of the civic endeavors, you're working. And part of the idea was don't keep just being happy being a helper. Be the principal, be the leader of something, and kind of step in. And now we're seeing this huge move of activism, especially among women. for even for elected office. And, you know, there's a new, I think there's a woman, Marie Newman, who just said she was running against Dan Lipinski on the Southwest side. That race hasn't had a competitive fight in, what, 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're starting to see this level where people are looking around and thinking, I'm not content anymore to have somebody else be in charge. I want to be in charge. So, you know, we have 3,000 people now that are in this organization, and I think it really feeds a hunger to get involved. So in August, and I'll come on and talk more about this when we're closer, but we do this thing called the Young Feminist Conference, and we work with girls in high school all over Chicago and Cook County. And these girls are amazing, you know, 16. Talk about being more on your game.
Right.
Than you were. You know, I was mostly was thinking, like, what am I doing on Saturday night? But I'm impressed with them. And
yes,
it really, it very gives you hope for the future.
I love it. I mean, I have four sisters and three are working mothers.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. I completely get it.
I have four sisters, too. There you go.
Cook County Commissioner Bridget Gaynor, pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great
thank
morning.
Thank you.
Have a great day. It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Donuts.
729, coming up, the big story. The searching continues for a man that threatened the president in Wisconsin. We'll have the big story with Vic in a second. Carrie and Sarah Wood, friends of the show, the Wood Family Foundation, have teamed up with Glazed and Infused to develop a specialty donut from now until April 22nd, which is the opening day for Donut Fest. On the phone with us is Chef Kevin, who came up with this donut. Chef, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Chef, what is the donut that you guys introduced?
I introduced the Cracker Jack donut, which is a vanilla cake donut with salted caramel drizzle, toasted peanuts, and a handful of Cracker Jack stuff right in the middle of it.
So this is your job. You just come up with donut creations.
Yes, I do.
How do you come up with something like this? Is Carrie or Sarah? Carrie doesn't do anything. Sarah does all the work. Does Sarah call you up and say, listen, we need a donut. Let's make this happen.
That's how it basically kind of went, actually. The Wood Foundation reached out to us via email. We set up a couple meetings with them and had a couple tastings, and then we just decided that that was the best one to launch on opening day.
So, is there a prize with the donut?
I didn't think about including that, but I have opened probably at least over 100 Cracker Jack bags in the last couple of days.
Really?
Do they still have the prizes?
Yeah, they do. They have like a little sticker inside.
I love the sticker. The tattoo. Love the tattoo.
Yeah.
But what are the donuts that didn't make the cut? Did you come up with something before the Cracker Jack donut?
They were trying to convince me to make a hot dog donut.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a big no-no. I don't think people would want to enjoy a hot dog, you know, at 7 a.m.
No, I don't see how that would work. What do they call that in the foodies? Is that sweet and savory? What would you call that?
I guess that would be sweet and savory, but...
Okay.
Just imagine stuffing like a hot dog in a Long John. I don't think that sounds pleasant whatsoever.
And Donut Fest is coming up on the 22nd. Are you going to be involved in that?
Yes, we are. We'll be presenting the Cracker Jack donut along with multitude of our staple donuts, so the vanilla bean, red velvet, chocolate four, our most famous one, which is the maple bacon.
Okay.
It's always a good time there.
So if people stop by Glazed and Infused and buy the peanut and Cracker Jack donut, a portion of those proceeds go to the Wood Family Foundation, is that right?
Yes, it is. A proceed of all the donuts that we're doing for the Wood Foundation, because it's not just the Cracker Jack, will be donated to the Wood Family Foundation.
Oh, fantastic.
That includes the opening day sprinkles, which is a red velvet donut, vanilla glaze, and then cup sprinkles on top. The Gold Cubs rings, just a vanilla yeast ring, sprinkles on the side, Gold Cubs written on top. And then the Holy Cow Harry Carey Long John. It's a yeast Long John, cup sprinkles around, chocolate glaze, and it says Holy Cow right on the top.
I'm a big fan of the Long John. I go Long John. Dave Ennett?
I like the Go Cubs Go rings. That sounded good.
I think the red velvet, very underrated. Big fan of the red velvet.
Very trendy.
Chef Kevin, Chef, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on!
Yeah. 7:40, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back later on this week. Tuesday morning, we're going to see a little bit of sun today, which is going to be nice. That's what we want. Cubs home opener yesterday. I went down there and hung out in Wrigleyville and
begged and pleaded for tickets.
Wrigleyville wasn't that packed. Let's bring in Kevin Powell. Kev, it wasn't that packed yesterday, was it?
No, it was packed. It just cleared out fairly quickly, especially after the opening ceremony. You mean inside Wrigley?
I disagree. I mean during the day. Usually you see thousands of people just hanging out on the street. The bars were, they were full, but it wasn't overly packed, like playoff packed.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think, I was there earlier in the day checking out the plaza, the park at Wrigley, and there was a good amount of people there, but it wasn't jam-packed. I guess you're right there. But when it was game time, I mean, Wrigley was jam-packed, but the rain obviously didn't help. And once the ceremony was over, people were filing out pretty quickly.
I think they underdressed because at 6 o'clock I was walking down Clark and suddenly the temperature dropped and kept dropping and the dark clouds moved in. I don't think people wore winter coats and a stocking cap because you needed that during the game.
You know, watching the ceremony, everyone's just focused on all the hoopla and the fireworks and everything. And then the second it was over, you know, I was outside. I'm like, man, it's really cold out here. Like, I don't think anybody felt it until that ceremony wrapped up because everyone was just mesmerized by what was happening on the field. And then the second it was over, I think I'm walking back up the steps and I'm looking at people who look like they're freezing. I mean, just thin spring coats. Yeah. People underdressed for sure.
Why do they keep calling it a banner? It's a flag.
Okay, Pete, come on.
Now, the reason that I bring this up is because we're raising the banner and we all thought, okay, it's going to be like a championship banner at the United Center. I did. That was my visual. I was envisioning the banner at the United Center going up, you know, the Blackhawks banner.
Where could they possibly hang a banner at Wrigley?
That was my question yesterday. So they
similar to what they do at the United Center. It looks more like a flag. I don't think it matters all that much because the words are the same. It says 2016 World Series champion Chicago Cubs.
Right. So the flagpoles are in the outfield. 1907 World Series flag, 1908 World Series flag, the 2016 pennant flag, and the 2016 World Series flag. And the players went out there and they each took a turn taking the flag up the flagpole. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it was cool too. It was just sort of a surreal moment seeing players in the stands. With a full stadium with Wrigley completely packed and just a pretty incredible night. Anthony Rizzo, the guy who walks on the field with the World Series trophy after they raise the banner, sends everybody home on a walk-off. It was pretty wild. Anthony Rizzo talked about it, said it's a night he's obviously never going to forget, and essentially said it was one of the best days of his life, and he was surprised by the ceremony. I thought they did an awesome job with the ceremony.
I thought it was great. Loved it.
I thought they did a really good job with it. But it was a great ending. You did get the sense though, if Anthony Rizzo didn't end the game there against Kenley Jansen, one of the best relievers in baseball, it felt like it was one of those games that was going to go really late. So I think Anthony Rizzo saved. Saved a lot of sleep for a lot of people.
And it was about 12:20 about that?
Well, it might have even
a little later, 12:30.
Inch later, 12:40 or so like that. So, yeah, you were just getting the sense that that's a game that could have lasted forever. And I just thought it was a fitting way to end that night. Anthony Rizzo, sort of the heart and soul of the team and the leader, carrying the World Series trophy, leading the team down through underneath the bleachers, back up the steps to raise the banner or flag, depending on who you're talking to, and then ending it against Jansen. I thought it was a great night at Wrigley.
Kev, what was the reaction to the move of the bullpens, and what are the players saying about it?
Well, Joe Maddon, of course, didn't complain about it or anything. He says when it comes to managerial tactics, it's about the exact same for him. He sort of joked that they have the best monitors in baseball because they put screens inside the bullpen so he can keep an eye on what's happening inside the bullpen. John Lester did say that, you know, it's going to take a little getting used to, but on a night like last night, it obviously benefited them because it was colder. They had, you know, they could go inside. There's a lot of distractions, but, you know, Lester did compare it to an off-season training facility, and it kind of feels that way. It doesn't really feel Wrigley-esque, and that's nothing like obviously what we've been used to seeing, but I think there's pros and cons to it. And then Lester said, you know, guys will get used to it. And he did say he did have to open the doors so he can sort of hear some of the crowd noise and the ambiance of Wrigley when he was warming up. But he also did say it was nice to close the doors for a little bit to get away from the distractions. So I think that's probably what you're going to hear from most of the players, that there's pros and cons. It's different from what we've seen.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans will miss the old bullpens. But,
yeah, but I think people will get used to it.
The bullpen used to be down the third baseline. Now it's underneath the bleachers. Yeah. I like seeing who's coming in next, who's warming up, because I like to manage in my head. All right, who are we going to put in the bullpen? Do we need a lefty? Do we need a righty? And then I consult with my brother Dave, who's usually next to me, and we talk about it.
But this way you can always imagine who it is and pretend that you've guessed right.
I think they do a pretty good job, though, with monitors, and especially if you're watching on TV, they always have some sort of bullpen cam. I did find it interesting. I don't know if you guys heard. I was able to catch the TV feed of it when they're warming up, when the ball hits the catcher's mitt.
Yes.
It sounds like a shotgun going off. It's kind of a weird vibe in there.
My son Charlie brought that up. He's like, "Dad, it sounds like a gun." Yeah.
I mean, it is a really loud, echoing sound. Yeah.
Kevin Powell on the phone with us. Can we talk about the plaza for a second, or they call it the park next to the park, that little area on Clark and Addison, which, first of all, is fantastic. It's great. However, there is a small barricade that separates the sidewalk from the plaza, and you need a ticket to get in. I didn't have a ticket yesterday, so I'm on the outside looking in thinking, gosh, I really want to get in there, maybe walk over to the new Cubs store. They have that enormous Starbucks. I guess you can get into the Starbucks from the street, but you can't get into the Cubs store through the plaza unless you have a ticket.
I don't know if that's entirely accurate, Pete, to be honest.
That is true. You can't get in without a ticket. They wouldn't let me in yesterday.
What time did you go during the opening? Well, anyways, I'm not aware of that. I thought anyone could just walk over there. I didn't have any issues with just sort of walking around the plaza, which they're calling the park at Wrigley, by the way. I don't think you need a ticket, Pete, but I'll double check that for you. What time did you go during ahead of the game? A couple hours before?
It was right before game time, so they had the barricades were up. But
gotcha.
I absolutely love it. They have that big screen that you can see from down the street, mm-hmm. which is great. If you're going to have a big screen, you want people mm-hmm. to congregate and hang out, and apparently you can't do that during the game unless you have a ticket.
Well, general admission session tickets are, this is for a specific show there. Because they
I'm
have
telling
food
you guys, you need a ticket
tastings.
To get in the plaza. That's
well, you
the
tried
deal.
And you couldn't get in, so right. I think that's pretty much
first-hand
unless
experience.
That's just you.
Wait a second. You didn't shave? You're a Lebanese guy? We're not going to have you.
Right. I'm guessing it had to do with you know, the time of the day. Because when I went there, it was 11 in the morning, and I had no problem just walking around the entire plaza. So it may be restrictions towards a closer game. Though. Regardless, I think it's a great space because, I mean, I think there's a lot of places to hang out in Wrigleyville, obviously all the bars and stuff, but right next to the stadium, there really wasn't a place to congregate. I think it's a cool spot where everyone can kind of gather and, you know, it used to just be an old parking lot. Now there's cool stuff there. The Cubs store is really cool. You could spend hours inside the Cubs store, and they're planning all sorts of stuff. They're doing movie nights on the video board throughout the summer. That'll start in June.
Mm-hmm.
So all kinds of stuff. There's gonna be a restaurant in there, and there's a balcony, a second floor balcony. So yeah, I agree. I think it's a great spot for Cubs fans to gather.
I love it. Kevin Powell. Kev, great to talk to you, man.
All right, Pete, thanks for having me. Thanks, Dave.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
That was awesome. It was really well done. It's just a really special night for all of us. It's for, like I said before the game, for our fan base, for the organization. It was a very special evening.
Just an honor for me, for my family, to be part of the city for the really bad times when the new, you know, ownership got here, and the really good times. It was a lot of emotions, and I was fighting back tears a lot.
Definitely something that'll go down in my book is something that I'll remember for a long, long time. And you know, now I look forward to Wednesday and getting, you know, getting the fun stuff, getting the ring. So that'll be good.
Madden was pumped before that game yesterday. Don Zimmer's widow was there.
Soot.
Yeah, he was pumped about that, man. He was ready to go yesterday. Okay, we're talking about the, I hate that they call it the park. It really is the plaza next to the park, but it's the park next to the park.
It's called the Park at Wrigley.
The Park at Wrigley, which doesn't make sense to me again.
Why?
I feel like I need to be on the board.
Is it a banner or a flag?
Along. Can you get into the plaza? Joe, you know what's going on? Because I'm getting text messages. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Well, this is what I heard on the radio yesterday. They said that on game days, you do need a ticket. But on days that there's not a game, anybody off the street can walk in. That's what I heard on the radio. So, I mean, it seems a little strange because as a business person, you would think that they would want anyone to come in.
You would think that, yes. I just got a text from Todd Olson at Republic Bank. He said, yes, you are correct. They cleared the park at 3 and required tickets to get in. It's like the DraftKings Club. Once it gets closer to game time, you can't get in that club, which is the bar next to
Wrigley. And that's true on concert days, too. You'll need a ticket to get in. But otherwise, yeah, because they're going to have movies there. They're going to have all sorts of community events there.
Right.
I think they're going to have an ice rink. Isn't that where the ice rink is going to go?
Sure.
Yeah, not during the summer.
I believe next week, I think they're doing Ferris Bueller. I'm not positive on that. But
you are. I did get an email because I live in the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
What's up, Mayor?
You guys were talking about the window contest we're holding.
Yes.
Which I wish I was eligible for.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a half circle driveway, and our kitchen faces our driveway. So I sit at our table and every afternoon and do some work, and I watch people use our driveway to turn around because it's a half circle, so it's just easy.
You're that driveway. I'm that guy that pulls in your driveway all the time.
It makes me angry every single day. So I want to hurt people. We've thought about, do we put spikes in the driveway? What do we do to keep people from coming in
Why are you going to put spikes in the driveway? You're that crazy person.
Well, because don't
get
use
off
my driveway.
Lawn. Green Tea Services want to give you $7,000 worth of windows plus installation.
I need those windows.
Craziest thing that you've seen out your window, go to WGNradio.com and submit it. It's that easy.
So Mary just reminded me of one.
Okay.
We used to have a big old willow tree right in front of our house, and the street, this lane dead ends at my house. And one night, I heard what I thought were brakes screeching. It's like 2 in the morning. I jump up the window right next to the bed. I look out, and there is a car, as I look out, hitting that willow tree. And then and I realize They're probably kids.
Right.
They probably weren't real sober. Mm-hmm. And my first concern was somebody had gotten hurt. But immediately, they backed up. They went across my lawn and did a loop and got and went back down the lane. And that was it. And there was a big dent in the willow tree, which probably shortened the life of that tree, as a matter of fact.
How come I'm always the naked guy? Okay, I have the naked neighbor. You have
well,
the
you
person
live in the
that,
city. The suburbs, it's a little calmer.
Big thing we've got is people in our driveway.
Yeah.
But if you live at the dead end, people probably use your driveway to turn around.
They don't even get that far.
They don't get that far. Yeah. Anyway, I want people to stay off my driveway. So,
someone passed out on my driveway once.
Yeah. That was your sister.
A person?
I almost ran the guy over. Yeah, because I live on a prairie path, I told you. And once in a while, you get some inebriated people walking around on the prairie path, and they kind of wander, and I almost ran the guy over.
Actually, I want to apologize for my brother Dave.
Oh,
I'm sorry for that.
We did look familiar.
Green Tea Services want to give you $7,000 worth of free windows plus installation. What's the craziest thing that you've seen out your window? Go to WGNradio.com and submit it, and you could win. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:12, we're going to see sun today. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back later on in the week. Dean is off today on assignment for WGN. Do you call that on assignment when he's around town? I guess so. On the phone with us from On Milwaukee, it's Matt Miller. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us, man.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a big week for Star Wars fans because the trailer is out.
The trailer is out? It is officially out there? The people are getting to see it?
Why is this so exciting for Star Wars fans? I know they hang on everything Star Wars, but the trailer comes out. Okay, you want the movie. When does the movie come out?
Well, the movie, yeah, you're going to get a new Star Wars movie every December. And I should correct, the trailer is not out yet, but we are hearing that it is going to be out probably sometime this week. There's Star Wars Celebration going on this week, big convention all around Star Wars. And they're going to be tossing that trailer out there, and people are going to lose their minds about it. Because, you know, I mean, we saw what happened the last time this movie came out. People just went bonkers. And I'm really excited for this one. So I think when that comes out, the internet might break. We might lose the internet.
And Carrie Fisher is in this new movie, right?
Yes. She had reportedly filmed some scenes, and apparently, I believe I read that her people have signed off on using her likeness. Does this mean they're going to pull a Rogue One and digitally recreate her? I hope not, because that really creeps me out at the end of Rogue One. This business of digitally recreating actors is really it's creepy on a moral, on an ethical level, and it's creepy on just a visual level, because they always just, I just look them in the eyes and I'm just like, there's no soul in there.
Well,
so
this,
I'm very,
this is how my mind works. I mean, Carrie Fisher, she's dead. Okay. Who gets paid? Is it her brother Todd? Is it her managers? Who gets the money for her appearance in Star Wars, which is going to be enormous?
Yeah. And I'm interested to see how, because I believe in the third, even going beyond this movie coming out, apparently she was supposed to have a pretty significant role in the third movie, or the ninth movie, I guess, at this point. The ninth movie that was going to be coming out a couple years, she was going to have a significant role in that, and now they're going to have to kind of readjust, and obviously that is far and beyond not the most tragic thing to happen from the deaths of last year, but that is definitely going to be a thing that's going to have to be worked out in the screenplay.
So this movie that comes out in December takes the original story with the original characters and moves on. Is that right?
Yes, this is going to be the new trilogy, the one that was started with The Force Awakens. And I know for a lot of people, it's a little confusing because, I mean, we just had the Star Wars Rogue One last Christmas, which was not a prequel, it was a prequel, but not one of the prequels, and it's a new Star Wars, but it's not one of the new Star Wars, it's a one-off, and I think Star Wars is doing a pretty okay job of informing people of how they're going about releasing these new movies, but yes, this one is a follow-up to The Force Awakens, a part of that trilogy of trilogies that they're building right now, and they've got Rian Johnson, who's a terrific director, terrific writer, directing this time. He did Brick and Looper, which is a terrific sci-fi movie that if you're listening to this, you should check out as soon as you can. So yeah, I'm very excited for it.
And the Thor trailer with Chris Hemsworth, is that out this week too?
It is, and gosh, it looks so much fun. Oh my gosh. See, it's incredible what happens when you see what happens when a Marvel trailer comes out and when a DC movie trailer comes out. When a Marvel trailer comes out, people are excited. People want to see that movie. People have fun. When a DC trailer movie comes out, it feels like an obligation. It feels like you get this general impression from people that like, okay, I got to go and see the new Justice League movie this year. Like it's sad that they've turned those movies into this dirge that people are required to see on pop culture obligation rather than, you know, seeing their favorite heroes on the big screen and being happy about that. But yeah, this new Thor trailer looks incredible. Looks a lot of fun. Jeff Goldblum is back with face paint. It's delightful.
Jeff Goldblum. He does those apartment commercials, and he hasn't done anything in years. And finally, he's back into a movie.
Yeah, those super weird apartment commercials.
Yeah, it's creepy. Go to apartments.com or whatever it is. Yeah, it's a little strange.
Yeah, he's like some sort of futuristic Steve Jobs dude. It's bizarre. And, I mean, it's somehow even more bizarre than a movie in which he's some sort of, you know, space overlord commanding over a gladiator pit.
Right.
Fighting gods against Hulks.
You thought the Fly movies are crazy. You got to see these apartment ads. Matt, hold on a second. I want to talk to you about Dancing with the Stars last night. We'll bring in Mary for that, David Ross. And, of course, David Letterman inducted Pearl Jam into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was very disturbing. And we'll discuss that with you coming up after traffic. Mary? 8:22, John Wideman, the voice of the Blackhawks, joins us at 8:37. Dean is off today on assignment on the phone with us from On Milwaukee. It's Matt Miller. I wanted to talk about David Ross on Dancing with the Stars. And let's bring Mary in because she's a big fan of Dancing with the Stars. Mary, last night, David Ross did pretty well, right?
He did. He got about 31 points, which is pretty good. It puts him like right in the middle of the competition.
They put the phone number on the Jumbotron at Wrigley Field so people could vote right away.
Well, they played the whole dance because they were still in the delay.
Rain delay.
You know, so people went nuts. I guess they played. And he didn't know they played his dance until after they told him on the show, and he was really excited.
Matt, how popular is David Ross? I mean, we knew about him in Chicago, but I feel like the nation's embraced him.
Absolutely. He's playing very well on Dancing with the Stars, and especially now that Mr. T was kicked off the show, he's really kind of like the show's dad, kind of how he was the grandpa to the Cubs last year. You know, he's kind of the affable guy whose maybe footwork isn't the best or anything like that, but he's just so much personality, so much charm when he performs. I'll say this, I've been a lifelong Brewers fan, and I have been charmed by him this season. And they played Go Cubs Go for one of his dances this year, and yep. I sat through the whole thing without a grimace. So, I mean, that's how good he's been.
He's a very likable guy.
And last night they played Forever Young. So that was it. He waltzed. I mean, it was pretty good. He, you know, a little not too.
He's only 40.
Could have been smoother, but
he looks much older. They keep calling him Grandpa. You think he's older? He's only 40 years old.
Well, I think that's why all the age references are made, because he was so much older than most of the guys on team.
Yes, I mean, who's the oldest on the team now? Rizzo, who's 27.
Rizzo's 27. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that
he made a cameo. He made a cameo in last night's episode as well, Anthony Rizzo. That was him wearing some sort of dancing harness and dancing a little bit with David Ross. It was delightful.
Well, they had Ross on the Jumbotron at Wrigley Field, and then they had him on during the broadcast. They were talking to him on ESPN or what? Yeah, it was on ESPN last night. So I thought that was pretty cool. Let's talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony. David Letterman inducted Pearl Jam into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The beard that David Letterman has on his face is very disturbing to me. It's longer than a Santa Claus beard. It's very odd to see him with this beard.
He is retiring hard. He is leaning hard into retirement. He's got a Duck Dynasty situation going on with that beard.
I mean, I just don't understand it. I get it. You want to grow a beard after you get off the air, but it's been long enough. I mean, he looks like a homeless man.
And also, he's in public now. Like, I get it. I got it a lot, definitely. And, of course, it's his face, so he can do what he wants. But, I mean, like, the first couple of months after the retirement, when people saw the photos, it was like, oh, wow, that's a beard. But I guess, like, you know, he's not doing interviews. He's kind of out of the public face. He can do that. I mean, he was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's doing interviews and stuff like that. He is in the public eye, and that's a lot of facial hair to be putting in the public eye.
I mean, it's big. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this is what drives me nuts, because I watch it every year. I love the performances, especially when they get together and jam, and you had Steve Perry this year inducted with Journey, even though he didn't sing. It's great, too. I read about it over the weekend, but I'm not going to be able to see it until May. It takes them a month to edit it all together and then play it on HBO. Drives me crazy.
Which, it's ridiculous, especially in this culture of you know, Twitter and social media and stuff like that. Waiting on something like that is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's by the time they air it, we'll all have moved on. We'll all have moved on to the next, you know, music award show, because there's seemingly one every month.
They're missing the boat, man. They are. They should turn it around in a week. If they can do it quicker now. It drives me crazy that we have to wait a month.
And imagine how big David Letterman's beard is going to be this time.
anticipation is the greatest emotion, so sometimes it's fun to wait. That's what we tell our kids.
Oh, God.
You're talking about beards. You know, the Chicago Blackhawks are inviting fans to participate in the NHL's Beardathon again.
Right.
Ryan Hartman and Andrew Desjardins are the ones that are doing it. You can go to beardathon.com/Blackhawks.
Dave Ennett is ready to go.
I've already started. Beard. Yeah.
I was gonna shave mine off, but now maybe I should just stay with it.
I can't get past the initial itching stage because I have very coarse hair.
Well, if you don't want to raise money for cancer, I will give money.
How about if I give? Can I just give and not grow the beard?
They've raised over $3.5 million.
Okay, so
since they've been doing it in 2000.
How can I help raise money?
Well, you can go to beardathon.com/Blackhawks.
Uh-huh.
And you can pledge there. And you can keep your, if you're going to keep your beard as long as the playoffs. But you've been having a playoff beard for like 5 months.
Yeah, I mean, this started around New Year's. Okay. So
it's sexy.
It was an anticipatory
beard. I mean, I can say that because we're bros. Beard.
It was. It was. Uh-huh. Well, it got to a point where I was told I could not shave it because the Cats were winning.
Oh, it was a cat's beard.
Yes. Yeah. But now can I convert that over to a Blackhawks playoff beard?
Yeah.
Because I will.
And it was.
But you got to grow it like David Letterman.
I don't mind Letterman's beard. I like that he's kind of like, I'm going to do this.
Matt, do you find it a little creepy?
It's a lot of beard. It is. And it's not being particularly manscaped or it's not being particularly tended to. It's just going wherever it wants. It is adventuring into further regions.
Right.
I think it'd be nice if there was some sort of, you know, some sort of shape to it instead of just seeming like a crazy man's beard.
It's perfect for Wicker Park if you want to be a hipster, but for David Letterman, I don't think so. Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. Matt, thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Of course, thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, man. It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pass and a shot and a big save by Crawford. All alone as Colony fires. Glove save is made by Scott Darling.
Jalmerson at center ice to Taves, breaking in over the ab line, left circle. Shoots, he scores! Jonathan Taves makes it 5-3 in favor of the Hawks. Panarin to Anisimov, up beside the net, shoots, he scores! Artem Anisimov! Deep at the line, deep side, over to Panarin, left circle, shoots, he scores! And we're tied at one! Third, Artemi Panarin! To Kane in the high slot. Fires a shot, he scores! Hat-trick for Patrick Kane, the third of his career!
8:39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back later on in the week. Our next guest, I love this guy. I love hearing him on the radio. This Thursday, the playoffs start. The Hawks host the Nashville Predators. You can hear this man make the call right here on 720 WGN. It's John Weideman. John, just hearing those calls, I'm pumped up already. You're done. We don't need to talk.
Pete, glad I could provide you with that entertainment.
We haven't talked in a while. It's good to hear your voice, man. Are you pumped up and ready for the playoffs? I mean, the season, you know, you think it's long during the season, but here we are, the playoffs again.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I was kind of hoping that we could have started tomorrow instead of Thursday, you know, because it gets to that time of season and you feel like, okay, let's get it started. But the players need that little bit of a gap in between the end of the season and the start of the playoffs. There's some wounds that they're trying to heal for sure. And right. Nobody's going to tell you anything about what those are, but you know, the accumulation of all the bumps and bruises and the hits and everything that takes place over an 82-game season, you know, some of those guys probably needed this time. So I think they'll be ready to go.
Even though we finished with 109 points, does it bother you that we lost the last game of the season? Because you want that momentum going into the playoffs. Dave Bennett's so mad at me right now.
I'm not mad at you, no.
You're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Shaking my head, no.
Well, you want to end on a high note.
Okay. Yeah. But you know, well, I'll let John answer and then I'll respond.
Well, guys, and how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great, John. Nice to talk to you.
Good, good. And by the way, great season with Northwestern, man. I had an awful lot of fun listening to your broadcast. So
thank you. It means a ton coming from you.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you this, guys. The team was 3-3-4 in the last 10 games. Okay, so that's 10 points out of a possible 20. Okay, they could have played better. Sure, they could have. But in the previous 20 games to that 10-game stretch to end the season, they were 17-3, and that included two wins on the road in Minnesota and one win at the United Center against Minnesota. In that time, They beat Pittsburgh. They beat Nashville in Nashville. They had a whole bunch of victories. They beat Edmonton in Edmonton. This team, how I would characterize it is, when they decide to flip the switch and go, they are as good, possibly better, than any team in the National Hockey League. Now, you'll say, well, what about the Washington Capitals? Heck, the Blackhawks went into Washington and got obliterated 6-0. Yeah, good point. Boy, the Caps were on their game at that time. They were on the kind of run that the Blackhawks were, where they went 17-3. I say you put those two teams in the playoffs, and I say you get different games. So I think that this team will be ready for their first-round opponent, which are going to be the Nashville Predators, and they're not going to be an easy mark, guys. They're going to be a very competitive team, and they could surprise the Blackhawks. So the guys are going to have to be ready right from the puck drop of game one.
You know, John, my I guess the reason I reacted the way I did to Pete's comment is you go back to 2015, and the Blackhawks ended the regular season losing their last four games.
You're right.
They scored a total of five goals in four games. And then, of course, the playoffs arrive, and down goes Nashville in the first round. Down goes Minnesota. Down goes Anaheim in that thrilling Game 7 out now in Anaheim. And then they beat Tampa Bay for the Cup. So, I mean, there is precedent there not to get too concerned about the way they finished the regular season.
Yeah, this team does tend to play a little possum in the last five games of the regular.
good choice of words.
You know, when you think about what they did, the number of points that they were able to accrue, and the teams that they were able to pass and put themselves in the position that they're in, you have to shake your head and say, "Who are these guys?" It's like that line from Butch Cassidy in The Sundance Kid: "Who are these guys?" But then you see them play on a regular basis, and you realize how good they can be at any given moment, or when they want to be. So I don't put a lot of stock in those last couple of games. I will say this, that from talking to Joel Quenneville and talking to the coaching staff, the one thing I did glean from some of those conversations was that they wanted to look at their personnel here in the last 5 to 10 games and kind of see what they had and try different line combinations and look for different things from different players. Like, as an example, John Hayden, he's a kid that joins us from Yale, and we're thinking, you know, initially, okay, he's going to play 1-2 games. Maybe he'll get assigned to Rockford for the remainder of the season. John Hayden came on with a bang. I mean, literally and metaphorically, he just led the team in hits from the time he got here. Tremendous energy. He's a big body. I won't be surprised if John Hayden is in the starting lineup, you know, to start the playoffs. You know, you had all the other guys that don't get a chance to play. They're the healthy scratches. Guys like Andrew Desjardins, who's as great a guy as there is in the game of hockey, and he'd give you the shirt off his back to help his team. I think, you know, Quenneville knows what he's got with a guy like that. And, you know, you've got Jordan Tutu. You've got all of the other players, Vinny Hinostroza, guys that have come up, and they're ready to play if Joel Quenneville needs them. And, you know, Michael Kempney, Michael Roosevelt, you know, Gustav Forsling here of late. So Joel Quenneville, I believe, wanted to see what he had and put them in different situations, and he took some of the regulars out in that game in Anaheim. They got beat 4-0, but he got a chance to look and see what he had there. And so that, to me, is part of the brilliance of Joel Quenneville. You look at his track record for success, you can't deny what he's done. He's the second winningest coach in the National Hockey League in the history of the league, and 3 Stanley Cups and counting for the Blackhawks. So I don't get too upset when I see them go that way toward the end of the season, but when the playoffs start, they're all business.
And, John, before you go, we have Brian Bickle on next hour at 9:40. Have you reached out to him since the diagnosis and since his retirement?
I did, yeah. Well, not since retirement, but I had an opportunity to talk to Brian down in Carolina. We actually had him on the air. We hooked up a third headset in the booth in Carolina. And he was just as jovial and good-natured as ever, and nothing seemed to bother him. And I'm not sure what his regimen of medication is for his multiple sclerosis. I guess the disease affects everybody the same but different. And Brian, being a professional athlete the way he is and the great condition that he's in, I would think he's got kind of an advantage over, you know, most of the population that are beset with that awful disease.
Right.
But he's got a lot to live for. He had a nice contract that he signed with the Blackhawks. I believe it was 4 years and $16 million over the body of the contract. So financially, he should be in pretty good shape. And now he's got 2 daughters. And you know what? Brian Bickle is as decent a guy as you're ever going to find in the game of hockey. And I'm happy for him that he's able to walk away from the game in this condition. I'm sad because he's a friend, and I wanted to see him play until he decided to step away from the game sometime in his late 30s. But this is the way it goes, and I think if you ask Brian, he'd say, hey, you know, it's the way it is, and we'll go on from here. Everything's good.
Thursday night, Hawks host the Predators right here on 720 WGN. John Weideman with the call. John, great to talk to you again, man.
Pete and Dave, great to talk to you as well, and thanks for having me on, and go Hawks.
WGN, it is 8:50. Pete McMurray in the Allstate Showcase Studios, in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back later on in the week. Let's do a check-in with Governor Rauner. Governor, thank you for joining us. How are you, sir?
Hey, Pete, good morning. I'm terrific. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Let's talk about the budget. Where do we stand? What's going on? Get us updated on that.
Well, we're working hard negotiating with members of the General Assembly to try to get a truly balanced budget. I applaud the senators, Democrats and Republicans, for negotiating around the right issues. In order to keep budgets balanced in Illinois, we need structural changes to grow the economy and protect taxpayers. That's why I applaud the senators for working on a property tax freeze. I applaud the senators for working on workers' comp reform, pension reform, term limits on elected officials. These are all the right issues. These are the issues that I've been advocating for 4 years, and the senators are negotiating on those. So far, they haven't gotten them to a place where it's really a good deal for taxpayers yet, but I hope that we'll get there. We just have to stay persistent, and then we can have balanced budgets in Illinois for the long run. And the real answer is to have a booming economy, creating good careers, good jobs in every neighborhood. That's the number one priority. If we do that and then put the money into the schools that we collect from taxpayers, schools is the first priority rather than into expensive government bureaucracy, then we'll have a better future for the children and the grandchildren of Illinois, and we'll stop this bad spiral that's been going on for decades of deficit spending, taxing, and borrowing, and job losses. That's the track we've been on. And rather than tape over this broken system to cover it up, we need structural change to actually fix it. That's what we're working to do.
Governor Ryan Burroughs here, joining Pete McMurray. I have a question for you. What has gone on with the U.S. governors since the health care reform package proposed by the House Republicans failed? Are there any more conversations going on about the future of Obamacare or how the states are going to kind of put something together?
Yes, there are, Ryan. How we modify the Affordable Care Act is critically important. Clearly, the Affordable Care Act is broken. When you look at what's happened on the exchanges and the astronomical rate increases and the insurance companies dropping off the exchanges, and when you look at what the spending in the system has done to government budgets, it's unsustainable. We need changes. The governors are negotiating among themselves to come up with recommendations. And all of us as governors around the country are also speaking with members of Congress and members of the Trump administration to try to come up with solutions. I don't know. I don't get the sense that there's a consensus yet, but I think the process is continuing. And hopefully we'll get to a good place where we protect our vulnerable residents. We have a good, affordable Medicaid program to protect our low-income residents and give them quality health care. But we have a sustainable system, and that's what we're all working to achieve.
Would you be in support of maybe breaking open the border so maybe some Illinois people could shop for insurance in Minnesota or California or whatever?
Well, I don't want to comment too much on specific ideas on the table. I will say on that specific one, I will make a short comment, that I believe in competition and opening up markets as much as possible. Competition can increase quality and drive down costs. So making sure that people have choices and they're not locked into a monopoly or one limited market, I think, is generally a good philosophy in every aspect of life, including healthcare.
Governor Bruce Rauner on the phone with us. Governor, I grew up in Peoria. Half my family still lives in Peoria. I'm worried about Caterpillar. They closed the plant in Aurora. They're moving their world headquarters from Peoria to wherever. They haven't made an announcement yet. Stock is down. I'm worried about CAT. Have you had conversations with management over there?
I have had quite a few, actually. You know, Caterpillar is dealing with a lot of headwinds in their markets with their customers in North America and around the world, their customers are taking it on the chin. You know, there's a real major recession in a lot of commodities and a lot of mining and construction in certain parts of the world. So Caterpillar's struggling. They'll come through it. They're in a cyclical business, but the Caterpillar is a wonderful company. And I deeply appreciate their commitment to stay in Illinois. I was so grateful that they decided to keep their headquarters in Illinois. I know they were being heavily wooed by Texas and Georgia and other states. And I appreciate their commitment to remain in Illinois. That said, I'm very sad that Peoria is losing some important jobs and Aurora is losing jobs. The Caterpillar people told me they love Illinois. They'd like to grow here, but our costs, our taxes, our regulations yep. are much more punitive for them than they are in other states. Caterpillar, frankly, has been growing in other states much more than Illinois for decades. This is not a recent phenomenon. And the real tragedy for Illinois is Caterpillar is just one of hundreds of manufacturing companies that are frustrated. They'd like to grow in Illinois, but they can't because we are not competitive. We've lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs in Illinois the last 17 years, while all the states around us, all the five states that touch us, have added over 100,000 manufacturing jobs each. They're growing. We're shrinking. We're not attractive in manufacturing because our regulations and our taxes are punishing, and that's why we're working so hard to change our system. We want to fix it. It's broken. We're not economically competitive. We're not growing good-paying jobs, and these politicians in Springfield so far just want to tape over our problems. And what I'm trying to do is fundamentally fix it so we can grow our economy and bring back manufacturing in a major way here in Illinois.
But have there been wins since you've been governor? I mean, we constantly get emails in the newsroom about Mayor Emanuel bringing this company in and celebrating this company. And even President Trump has said, I'm keeping this many jobs and we're bringing this many jobs back to the U.S. Have we had much of that in Illinois? Is there anything that we as a state can hang our hat on over the last few years? I mean, we've got pretty good infrastructure with airports and things like that. What companies have come here?
Well, the reason we're fighting so hard to change our system is we are not attractive as a state to grow. And this has been a problem for decades, Ryan and Pete. For decades, Illinois has been one of the slowest growing states in America, mm-hmm. when the reality is we have the hardest working people, the best location, the best infrastructure, the best agriculture. We should be kicking tails. And I've talked to dozens of companies about coming to Illinois, and many want to come. Now, we're able to get Amazon to open 7 warehouses. We've been able to get some food manufacturers to come to the northwest suburbs of Chicago. We're having some wins, but we're nowhere near winning what we should. We should be booming. We should be one of the fastest growing states. And it's the reason we're fighting so hard to change things in Springfield. Property tax freeze, pension reform, term limits. It's just the things that show that we've turned the corner and we're going to be pro-growth, pro-job creation. That we need that in order to get growing. I've got dozens of companies ready to come, but they've all said, Governor, show that you're changing the policies in Illinois. Show that you're going to be pro-growth. If you can even get half of what you're recommending done, we'll come, we'll move to Illinois. Mm-hmm. Within an hour of O'Hare, we're doing okay. We're not doing great, but you know, O'Hare is such a big, wonderful asset to get people transported around the world. Some companies want to be near O'Hare, and we're competing there. But around the state of Illinois, Danville, Decatur, Rockford, Peoria, Springfield, yeah. Marion, we are not growing jobs. And unless we change that, we'll never have balanced budgets, and we won't have a good future for the children and grandchildren of Illinois. And we got to stop just taping over our problems. We need big changes to fix it.
I live in the city. I grew up, I grew up in Peoria. I lived in Rockford for many years. I get it. I've seen it, and I've seen it firsthand, and I go back to those cities on a regular basis, and I agree with you. We got to get a balanced budget, and we have to cut the spending. Governor Rauner, thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Ryan. Take care. We'll see you.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 9:12. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back later on in the week. I love success stories when people lose weight. In studio with us, he is the owner and top chef at Restaurant Michael in George Trois in Winnetka. But he was in People Magazine's annual Half Their Size issue that came out in January. He lost 194 pounds. He actually lost two people. if you think about it. 194 pounds, that's two 11 or 12-year-old kids, basically. In studio with us, it's Chef Michael Lakowitz. I can't believe you lost 194 pounds.
Yeah, it was a hot mess before. This is just,
I mean, you look fantastic compared to your picture.
No, I'm just overweight
now. You were so
now.
Bloated was, and the hair was short. I mean, it was bad.
No, the hair was in a pony, a greasy ponytail. Yeah, I don't remember much. The pictures tell it. Yeah, it was, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on at that point. It wasn't just, the weight was kind of a product of my behavior. Well, across the board. I got clean six years and a couple months ago. And that's when it's amazing what happens when you remove all those substances from your life. All these mirrors start showing up all over the place. I thought I looked all right. I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, you checked it. It says in People magazine that you checked into a facility in Chicago. What'd you check into?
I did a 28-day rehab facility.
Okay.
Inpatient.
Really?
Yeah. It was, the whole thing was, you know, I was just scared. I didn't know what to do. I was in a panic. And it was really, really messy. And it was, my staff carried me through all that stuff, which was, they're awesome. I mean, they've been with me the whole time I've been there. Several of these guys, Danielle and Sergio, they've been with me for four restaurants, 20 plus years, both of those guys. We're christening my manager, Sergio's daughter. We've been together forever. These guys are like family. They literally carried the restaurant for me because I couldn't do it. I wasn't even showing up. It was just hard for me to get out of the house at that size.
432 pounds. Yeah. You can't do anything when you're 432.
You could eat.
Right. I mean, if you're a chef, you got to taste the food. How do you do it?
My problems had nothing to do with foie gras and lobster. My problems are all, you know,
really?
Burger King and McDonald's and all that lovely stuff.
It always goes back to depression. Is that where it comes from?
No, I don't know that I've ever been clinically depressed. I think I'm just chronically silly with my behavior most of the time, and that kind of drew me into a real dark place. That was
it. What was it? Drugs, alcohol, what?
Yep,
everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my drug of choice is more whatever I get my hands on.
For those of us that don't know, how many years were you on that path of
food
spiraling?
Food since I was like five. Food forever. It's a family trait.
So were you a chubby kid then?
I was a fat kid. There was nothing chubby about me. Yeah, the only, my fingers were chubby. The rest of me was just fat. And that's just because the whole idea here is I'm addicted to not feeling my feelings, as I'm told. And
okay.
it turns out it's absolutely true. So I, you know, anything, food's a substance for me. So I use it aggressively. I really do. And there's still sometimes when I give myself a free day, like Easter Sunday is going to be a free day for me. It's been like 3 weeks. I was telling my publicist in the other room. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll tell you. I'll talk to you Wednesday-ish.
Well, plan around it. What do you mean? You don't know what's going to happen. You're going to overeat.
I know what's going to happen. It's going to be like 9 miles of bad road. But I got to talk about that stuff, and it kind of keeps me a little bit more in check. It's accountability.
Okay.
So I got to be careful because it will get away from me quick, and then I get a food hangover for 2 days.
Well, shouldn't you have people with you that day?
Yeah.
You know you're going to overeat.
Caretakers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How did you get in People magazine? Of course, you lose all this weight.
I don't know. They contacted me directly, and I just gave it to our publicist, and she was like, "Do you know what this is?" I was like, "I don't. Listen, man, I have no idea. I got to cook, you know." And I was focused. I was really focused on making sure that I helped to rescue the business because I did my best to train wreck it, and I just couldn't do it properly. So it stayed open and floating while I was doing all this stuff.
So people that are listening right now that struggle with weight, I mean, what did you do? What advice can you give them?
For me personally, diets don't work. I've been on a diet my entire life.
It's a lifestyle.
I had to change everything. Yeah. I had to change everything. And when I changed everything, it became more of a, it was lockstep with the way that I began to cook. You know, I mean, we're burdened in French cuisine as being labeled with this cream, butter, cream, cheese, butter. It's not that way anymore, generally speaking, across the board, but it's certainly not that way at 64 Green Bay Road anymore because, you know, there's butter, cream, and cheese in the restaurant. There's no question. But you used to get it on your plate if my fingers touched it. Now it's just because it's proper to use it in certain applications. But this is not French food from 1978. This is 2017 French food. And French food, if you go to France now, it's a global sampling of world cuisine. It's not, you know, everybody thinks coq au vin and beef bourguignon. Okay, well, that's lovely. And they're delicious dishes. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the staple of French cuisine anymore. But it is really kind of the moniker we've been hung with. But it's not that way anymore. Everything, I've actually developed a menu at Restaurant Michael. And for most intents and purposes, and George Trois as well, where it's just a healthier style of eating. It's sustainable. You can do this on a regular basis. I make the Flavor Fit menu available once a week on Fridays. And I did a benefit, or not a benefit, but a raffle and a little bit of a promo for it for about a month. The first 100 people who came in and ate the Flavor Fit menu, which is a menu of three courses. You have selections from each course or each category, appetizer, entree, and dessert. And it's 780 calories or less and less than 28 grams of fat for three courses.
Look at you.
And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious because you can actually...
You got me at 28 grams of fat.
Yeah, you come in and enjoy a beautiful meal prepared in the French style and not feel like you've been, you know, bad. It's enjoyable.
No
it's
one
really
does
enjoyable.
That, though. No one does that. It's such a great idea.
It also helped that I partnered up with Snap Fitness in Glenview, and those guys are awesome. And they donated a one-year membership for the person that I drew out of the raffle. The lady's name is Nancy. She won. She's fantastic. She's got two complimentary training sessions for 30 minutes each. And she's got a year membership at Snap Fitness and 2 4-hour classes to cook the Flavor Fit menu with me.
It's one thing to do it for yourself, but when you pass it on to others to help other people, it's that's wonderful.
It lets me keep doing it,
right?
Know? If I just do it for myself, I don't always care enough about myself to keep doing it for me. But if I can keep talking about it with other people, it's great.
So you got that OC personality. What are you doing now? Do you work out every day?
Every day,
really?
Do every you day, really? Yeah. Well, it's good. Listen, it saves my staff from me and me from me. It's a good stress relief for me. I'm not a pray medication or meditation kind of guy. Medication I was, but I'm not a meditate and pray kind of guy. It doesn't work for me so
when I first walked in the green room, you're that Chicago guy. I mean, you got the facial hair. You're right in people's faces. You seem like the type of guy that want to hug people when you see them.
Listen, I work in some fellowships where that's all we do is hug. I did not get into these fellowships to learn how to hug men, by the way, but that's what seems to be what I do now.
Maybe we can hug later. I felt like I missed out.
You're not my type, but I'll hug you.
So you made us food today. We're going to talk about that in a second. I'm going to take a break, and
thank goodness, you know, we're going to talk about it, because I've been sitting here just inhaling it for the last 20 minutes.
This guy
smells wonderful.
This guy never eats anything,
never do,
Dave Bennett.
Michael,
I've seen him eat one time, and it was pizza.
And
yeah,
I
like pizza.
Yeah. Yes. Chef Michael in studio with us at 720 WGN. 922, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. There's the sun, guys. There's the sun,
Dave.
You
promised it.
Yep, I promised. In studio with us, Chef Michael Lakowitz from Restaurant Michael and George Trois in Winnetka. You can go to restaurantmichael.com. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it just looks like heavy sauces, but you've changed it. You've made things...
Yeah, it's
less
it's
fattening.
Light. Restaurant Michael especially is light and lean. George Trois, you can go to georgetrois.com as well. There's a separate website. It's a separate restaurant. And George Trois actually seats 14 people. It's a tasting menu style restaurant. It's 6 or 9 courses. Lots of wine flights and wine pairings. But you can go to that website as well. That's definitely more in the classic vein with a much more light contemporary touch. But Restaurant Michael is definitely lightened up just dramatically.
432 pounds to 238 pounds featured in People magazine in January. What was the tipping point? Everybody has a point where
honestly,
it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they say silly, you know, fortune cookie sayings and T-shirt slogans like bottoms have, you know, trap doors and stuff like that. My bottom was laying on my filthy carpet looking for pills under the couch. I'm just rolling around because I couldn't stand up, surrounded by carry-out containers. And it was train spotting stuff. It was horrific. I mean, I look back at it now and it was just really... you know, I get teary-eyed over it because it was
sure.
Just, how did I let myself get to that
point?
Well,
you hit rock bottom. That's it.
Yeah, but I didn't know I was at rock bottom. I was trying to kill myself and I couldn't do it right. You know, I wasn't going to do it with a gun. I didn't have the nerve.
Right.
So I was doing it a little bit at a time and it was happening faster and faster and it just got really, really, it got really bad. It got really bad. You know?
So I imagine, you know, when if you are addicted to alcohol and you're in the line of work like a bartender, it can be difficult to be around it all the time. You have an overeating problem and you're around food all the time. Is it ever challenged?
It's not only it's not so much of a challenge for food or even for liquor. I make money when I'm selling you food and liquor and wine, right? But I look in the dining room every once in a while and people are very romantically swirling a glass of wine and toasting each other. It never looked like that when I did it. Hot mess. Horrible.
I don't mean the laugh, but yes.
No, it's funny. It's like, yeah. There's nothing sexy about me drinking. You know, I have people all the time. They say, well, you probably have a glass of wine. I said, I probably could, but, well, I really want you to have a drink with me. I said, no, you don't. You have no idea what you're asking for there. Mm-mm. That is, you don't have enough for me to drink.
I know this has been a very dark story, but you're a very positive guy. When I could just tell when I first met you, when you showed up like at 7:30 for a 9 o'clock appearance. You're like, I didn't want to deal with the traffic. I'm like, oh, is that the chef in the green room?
I'm still a little compulsive and obsessive, yeah.
Right. But what did you make us today? And this is low in fat, right?
The polenta is, and there's for each serving of that scampi, it's actually prawns provençal. For each portion of that, there is a half teaspoon of butter. But it's garlic, and it's thyme, and it's rosemary, and it's basil, and it's preserved tomato. And then the polenta is ground dehydrated Nicoise olives and oven-dried tomatoes. So it's pretty lean. Shrimp inherently is very low fat and super healthy for you. I can't eat them because I got old man disease. I got gout. Right? So it's ridiculous. So, I, you know, 47 years old, I'm in the best shape of my life, but what I really am is brittle, you know?
That's what happens when you beat yourself up.
Oh,
for
it's a nightmare, yeah.
Taste the polenta.
And Mary, you have the chocolate.
I have the chocolate, yeah, truffles, I think.
Yeah, those are not healthy, but
yeah,
those
that's
are
okay. That's why they were given to me.
Those are Grandma Ye chocolate truffles.
Wow, this is wonderful.
It's probably been a fun challenge for you, too, to have to think differently about how you prepare the food to keep you fresh.
Well, so it's been cool because my manager is actually on the same path with me, and I'm working with him a little bit. And because, you know, he's like, I don't know how to do this. I said, you know, I don't know how to do it either. I'm learning. It's like social media at 47 years old. I'm like, I'm the guy with two cans and a string. I don't know how to work social media, but it's absolutely imperative now. So I'm learning as I go, and I'm learning with my manager, who's 35 years old. He's 12 years younger than me, and we're both feeling around in the dark. But we do the same thing with our exercise and our food, but it's a plan. I make all my meals for the week on Tuesday, and they come in these little, you know, I make them in these little packages, and they're all marked 300, 190, 170 with calories. So I know exactly what I'm consuming. When I get to 1800, boom, the bell rings and I'm done. And if I eat them all at night, I eat them all at night. If I eat them all during the day, I'm done at night. And that's just the way I have to do it. Cause I'm but simple when it comes to stuff like that. I need to be very regimented with what I'm doing, and I'm all about routine.
100%.
Without
yes.
routine,
if you got a problem,
I'm
with
lost.
Food.
Yeah, we go on vacation, and I'm eating, you know, I'm eating a palm full of peanuts just so I'm not, you know, just so I can sustain all day long, and then we go for dinner. I try to be as normal as possible, but that's normal. What means a sliding scale, really?
I know we've eaten at the restaurant, and the food is exceptional, and it's the kind of restaurant you eat really good. It tastes richer than it is, apparently.
There's no question.
Yeah. And then you don't leave feeling like, you know, you have the heaviest feeling in your stomach. You don't feel like a fat slob.
No, there's nothing overwhelming about what we prepare in Winnetka. There's nothing overwhelming about it. It's appropriate and it's proper. And it's also respectful. I respect the cuisine. I respect the style of cooking that I represent to the best of my ability. And I also respect the fact that people have time constraints and they want to be healthy. So for me to, you know, give you 100 grams of fat in a meal, I mean, that's way over the border of irresponsible.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, even on a heavy meal, if you decide you want to go all the way out, you know, you're still going to have half the amount of fat that you would have had 20 years ago in a French restaurant. It just doesn't work that way anymore. Nobody has that palate anymore.
Right.
Everybody feels overwhelmed when they eat like that. And food hangovers, let me tell you something, they're real.
It's rough stuff.
They're
real.
Michael, what would you say is someone who's listening, who's wrestling with the same kind of demons you did, and how you take that first step, what would you tell them?
I would say, call me. Get a hold of me, and I'll help you. Forget about coming to the restaurant. I will help you, because there's no way for me to explain that in a blanket statement, because it's so individual. Mm-hmm. It's so determined by your personal circumstances. I mean, the first step for me was just, I just threw my hands up in the air and said, I don't know what to do. I'm scared and I'm lost. I still say that sometimes, and that's when I get the most help. It's like, okay, all right, well, come on over.
Just ask for it. People want to help.
Yeah,
they
that's
do.
The hardest thing in the world for me, man. When I could never ask for help. Now I can't stop. I'm like, hey, I need some help. You know?
Please
this
help
is,
me.
I don't have this. This is going to be a mess. And people are like, all right, you know. And usually when I tell my guys at the restaurant, and like I said, these guys have got my back. They're wonderful people, absolutely one like family. And I get, you know, they see me starting to get to the point where I'm like, oh, man, this is getting a little bit hectic. And listen, I'm going to go to a meeting. They're all like, good. So we'll see ya. That's a good plan, chef. We'll miss you, but you'll be okay.
You got a great story, and I love the story in People magazine. And if people want to meet you, you're there at the restaurant.
I'm there. I'm accessible. You could find me. Any email that you send at a website goes right to my phone. So I will pick it up. I will respond. Get a hold of me, and I will at least help point you in the right direction so that you're not feeling like you're alone, because you're not. If you're struggling with food or you're struggling with some kind of addiction, I got no answers for you. I just got, you know, solutions that I found with other people helping me. There's ways to do it. There really are.
Great,
and my way
you.
Is not the way to go. So I'll point you in the direction of people that help me.
I know traffic is bad, but I hope you come back in sometime.
Next time I'm picking a ride with you. You're in Rockford. Just tell me how much.
No, I lived in Rockford. I live downtown. See, the shorter the commute to work.
Well, then I'll just stay by you overnight the next time.
There you go.
Well, we'll
there
talk. Michael Lakowitz, Restaurant Michael in George Trois in Winnetka. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Brian Bickle, shooter number one. What a moment here. In on Stolarz. He scores! Brian Bickle puts Carolina up by one, and they want to empty the bench.
What a goal! The sound just told the entire story. No need for analysis. Just listen to that thing go off the pipe and in. And Amanda Bickle and the Bickle family, the Hurricanes. Oh boy, what joy.
God, what an awesome moment. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back later on in the week. Diagnosed with MS 5 months ago, fights his way back, scores in the shootout Sunday night, and retires. It's our old friend Brian Bickle. What a night Sunday night, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's nice to be back on. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Walk me through the weekend, because I saw the original video, the first game that you came back, and I've watched it twice, and I get choked up just watching it. I mean, talk to me about the entire weekend, the emotions, the highs and the lows, and then scoring the shootout goal.
Yeah, it was, leading into that game that a couple of days before, it was definitely emotional, for me and my family. It's like, one of the things I've done my whole life, it's hard to say and imagine for that day to come, but to get the opportunity to get a shootout for I could say my last shot was a goal. So, to end it that way after the whole months and treatments and things like that, it was special.
How are you feeling?
Pretty tired actually right now. But I got some time to rest. I know, again, with the emotions, that kind of drains you. And then, expect to play a couple games, it's even tougher. But, from the support that we've had, with the Canes and with the Blackhawks and the fans and the people that supported me through all these years of growing up playing hockey and through the situation, it was, overwhelming. And, you guys and everybody that in the social media that supported this comeback, and it was definitely really special.
Brian, I want to back up from the moment you scored that goal on Sunday back to, I believe it was Thursday when you played at Minnesota. That game, your first game back, when you went out for the pregame warm-ups just to get back on the ice with your teammates, what sort of a moment was that for you? Did it kind of hit you there, all the work that went into getting back out there?
Yeah, it was, emotional. That first month after getting diagnosed, it was tough to say if I was going to play hockey again, if I was going to lace up the skates. Things were, at the ultimate low, and you didn't know if it was going to get better. And, we're just so happy that it did, and it got me back. Skating and practicing, working out, and went down to the minors for a month and got my timing and things down there back and get the opportunity to play in Minnesota, which was Josh Harding, which I've kept in touch over the months of, where he got it. So, and he was at the game. It was, definitely special in that way.
Brian Bickle on the phone with us, 10 years in the NHL, 31 years old. You're retired now. Are you going to play Mr. Mom? You got two girls. Is that your role now?
Yeah. I'm just going to be a dad. I got a couple of young girls, 2.5 and 8 months. And, you know, for the season I'm grow up where, you know, the circumstances when you're playing hockey, you go on the road and, you know, and you go to practice and things like that. I get to enjoy that for a bit. And I don't really know what's next. We haven't really looked into it. Hopefully, you know, I got to find a path down here shortly and see where it goes.
Are you going to stay down there? Are you going to move to Chicago? Are you going to move back to Canada? What are you going to do?
We're going to enjoy the, you know, nice weather here first. I know it's 80 degrees out today and sunny.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But, and then, you know, slowly move back to, you know, Canada. You know, I'm going to be in Chicago through the summer with our foundation and some other events and enjoy, you know, the Chicago summer. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up. I'm still waiting to see and making you know, adjustments to what's going to happen.
I have to ask you, if you look back on your time in Chicago and the Stanley Cups and the winning teams and your teammates, and you had some great individual moments. I go back to 2013. Which one sort of stands out? Was it the overtime goal against Minnesota or the 17 seconds? What will you remember most?
You know, obviously, you remember all the players they play with, and you know the coaches and the staff. You know, I got drafted by the Blackhawks in 04 and been a part of their, you know, organization for a while. But for, you know, individual moments, I definitely, you know, that 17 seconds is, you know, it's going to be embedded for, you know, history for a long time. You know, it was a big moment, you know, my career and the team and you know, winning cups, it's also at the high of the point of the list. But, you know, individually, that's 17 seconds is the goal to beat.
Brian, I know you and your wife are no strangers to philanthropy, and you do a lot of work for the four-legged friends of ours. But do you see an MS component happening in the Brian and Amanda Bickle Foundation? I know the Carolina Hurricanes, they had the Bickle Brave t-shirts for the 2017 MS walk. Do you think you guys...
We are definitely, we're in the mix of doing something right now. That Bickle Brave thing, it kind of blew up pretty good after that Saturday morning MS walk here in Carolina. We're definitely going to work with... you know, our dogs, and I know, you know, from seeing people and stages of MS through when I go to get my treatment, you know, the MS patients need dogs. They need support. They need stable. They, you know, a lot of people can't do different things. And I know we have a trainer we're going to be working with to train, you know, dogs for MS patients, and we're going to be looking into that and working with that, and it's you know, something obviously, you know, attached to me, and we're going to do our best to, you know, find a cure and you know, work with MS patients.
What is the next step with you? Are you taking medication? You said you're going through treatment. What does that entail with the MS?
So for me, I was taking a drug called Tystabri that kind of, you know, it was one of the best ones out there for me to, you know, play hockey. I, you know, obviously stay on that for a bit and then kind of adjust my treatments, you know, as I go. I'm not going to be playing, you know, hockey, not anytime soon, but I'll still be active and playing hockey, you know, men's league and stuff like that. But, you know, at the high level of NHL, it's going to be it. So, you know, from what I needed to take to play in the NHL was that, and I got to lean off it and go on something different. That's everyday stuff. That's low dosage, and you know, for me to get through and you know, be normal again.
Well, I'm going to have you hold on for a second because you have some events coming up this summer. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Brian Bickle on the phone with us. It is 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back later on in the week. On the phone with us is former Chicago Blackhawk, former Carolina Hurricane. I almost said Panther.
Yeah.
It is Brian Bickle. Yes, retired now. He's playing Mr. Mom. You have two great events. You have a few events coming up this summer. You said you're spending the summer in Chicago. A Fetching Affair on Friday, July 21st. By the way, everything we mentioned, you can go to BickleFoundation.org for all the information. Two L's in Bickle. Tell us about A Fetching Affair on Friday, July 21st.
Yeah, it's an event that we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, we just have a big big ball and have, you know, live music and auction items. And, you know, me and my wife, and I know the Blackhawks are going to be in town during the convention. Hopefully we get, you know, a handful or half of them to come out. It's just a big, big event of raising money for, you know, our foundation for the dogs, for the kids, and now for the MS people. So that's one of our big things. And then I think on July 23rd, we're doing a Pause for Cause 5K walk. I think it starts at 9 a.m., but I don't know exactly where that's hitting at. But July 21st, we're doing a walk for MS and for the dogs.
So Friday, July 21st is the Fetching Affair at Moonlight Studios, and then Tito's for Dog People 5K Runner Walk on Sunday, July 23rd. For the Runner Walk, it's pauseforacause5k.run, or, of course, BickleFoundation.org for all the information. You're still doing great work here in Chicago, even though you moved.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, you know, away from home. We've been there for, you know, so long, and, you know, we've always wanted to do stuff with the community, and obviously we have dogs, and I know other guys have different things, and we you know, dogs are the man's best friend, and you know, they come to the door every day wagging their tail, and when times are bad, and we're happy to help them out as well.
And I love telling this story. We lived in the same neighborhood, and my dog Wrigley would always poop in your yard. I don't know why. He just kind of felt it. We'd walk by and, you know, just let her rip.
That's why our grass is always yellow.
Yes. God bless you, man. You sound like you're in good spirits. I mean, the weekend just off the charts. I was so happy for you that you went out on a high note. I really was.
Yeah, it was you know, a special moment, you know, having the Philly fans, which Philly fans are, you know, not known for the greatest fans for away teams, but, you know, see the respect that I had from them. You know, the applause and standing, and you know, the clapping when my name was announced in the starting lamp, and again in the shootout, it was you know, definitely special to, you know, finish off you know, that way with the win, and say that I scored in my last shot in the NHL was nice too.
I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody, but you got a Stanley Cup pick.
It's going to be tough. There's, you know, a lot of good teams, especially in our division this year with the Metropolitan, where, you know, there's four teams over, you know, 100 points. So, you know, obviously with the, you know, the Hawks, you know, what they've done this summer. But it'd be nice to see them, you know, do it again with all adjustments and all the young guys have, you know, came in. You know, I'm not, you know, not rooting against them. They're, I got a lot of friends and on that team and a lot of good memories. You know, if they go all the way, I'll be definitely, you know, cheering for them down the road.
So he's picking the Hawks, Dave. If you can read,
yeah, between the lines.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, there it is. Brian Bickle. Brian, we'll see you when you come to town. Thank you, brother.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. See you, man. Brian Bickle. That guy, just fantastic. Such a good person. All right. Quick break, and we'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.